Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 10. And just hold on to that. And also keep your devotionals handy. Turn to the back of there where there are scripture verses. We'll be referring to these today. As you know, the topic that we've been talking about for a few weeks now is, I guess it would be my Holy Spirit-given fascination with the concept that God puts a premium on us loving Him, that God has commanded us to love Him. Yes, He loves us, but the concept that has gripped me is our love for God and its function in our life. And I got to tell you an interesting thing that has happened to me, and I was talking to Rocky about this downstairs this morning. And this displays what is this: there is an immutable spiritual law that we are all under as God's people, that we need to understand crystal clear. And here's how maybe you'll understand it, why our love for God is important and why our love for God is commanded and why our love for God is also enabled by God. Because God does not give us any commands. If God gives a command, He also enables us to fulfill that command. He gives the command, but He enables us to do it. And before I had grandchildren, people would say to me, how great it is to have grandchildren and how you're going to love grandchildren. But I got to tell you, when I actually did have grandchildren, and I have three grandchildren now, my love for them completely ambushed me. I never saw it coming. It just has overwhelmed me and has overtaken me, and I think I know why, because I love the parent. I love the parent of those grandchildren. And when you love the parent, you love the child. You see, I see in my grandchildren, I see the image of my children. And because I have such a deep love for my children, that has translated, that has gone into now my grandchildren. And I love the parent, therefore I love the child. That's an immutable law. That's an immutable spiritual law. Why is it important for us to love God? And we will find out today, because when you love the parent, God, you will love the children of God. You will. It is axiomatic. My love for my children, listen to this, my love for my children has produced my love for my grandchildren. I didn't have to muster it up. I didn't have to try to love them. It was there, and it just was organic, and it just came out of me because my love for my children is so strong. Now, I want you to, we're going to try and get inside God's mind today. And we know that God is like John says, no one has ever seen God. And we know that God is spirit. And so if you are God and you want to do two things, you want to describe yourself to that which He created, humanity, and you also want to distribute yourself to that which He created, humanity. How would you do that? How has He done that? How has He described who He is to us? Well, let me ask you this. How do you describe love? How can you quantify and qualify love? So what God has done in order to describe Himself, because John says God is love, He has given us, His people, love. And in that way, we have a description of God. And He is also, by giving us this love, He has distributed Himself. Because as we distribute love, we distribute God. And here's the concept that has gripped me, and I hope can grip you as God's people. And here's something that the enemy does not want us to understand, and what we as God's people have to get a firm handle on, and your importance in this description of God and this distribution of God. You have been given, and I have been given, divine power. Divine power has been bestowed upon his, God's people, all of us. And this divine power that we've been given, if wielded, creates, fixes, transforms, heals, renovates, and renews. The divine power that you've been given and that I've been given, imagine the power that God has bestowed upon his people to distribute and describe himself to a world that is under the sway of the enemy. And this divine power, when we wield it, is intended by God to do everything that I just said: create, fix, transform, heal, renovate, and renew. And the name of that divine power is love. But not just any love. You see, the title of our message today is Love's Hierarchy, the Hierarchy of Love. We are commanded to love sequentially. We're commanded to love sequentially. In other words, in the Shema, in Deuteronomy, God says that you are first of all to love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. We're to love sequentially. And if we love God, if we love the parent, if that's our first love, it produces love for people. It produces love for others. Love is a gift from God. But love, like any other gift, there is bad love, isn't there? There's a love that's harmful to us. Jesus said that. He said, love of money is harmful to you. Paul says that. He says, when you're a lover of self above lover of God, it's harmful to you. So love, although it is a gift of God, and yes, love is from God, it can be misused, like any talent or gift that you have received from God. It can be misused. Not all love is good. We're to love the Lord our God first and foremost with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when you do that, it will produce a deep, abiding love for others. It's a sequential love. There's a hierarchy to this love. I look at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are what? Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. Love him first of all, and the other six commandments become superfluous. You see, if you love God first and foremost, the other six are axiomatic. The other six happen. But when our love for God slips, when the enemy gets into that, and the enemy divides us from our deep love of God, the other six commandments become very relevant, don't they? You want to improve your home? You want to improve your marriages? Want to improve your relationships with other people? Do you want to fix and transform things in your life? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and you will find all other relationships in your life improved. Now, I want to look at this verse with you in Matthew. Matthew 10, 37. Let's all look at that together. You ever puzzle over that verse? Because I'll tell you, I used to puzzle over that verse. I used to read that verse, and I'll just read it for us. This is Jesus speaking. The person who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I used to read that verse, and I honestly would have to say, you know, I got a problem with that, God, because I have such a fierce love for my family. I have such a fierce love for my wife and for my children that what is God asking me here to love them less? What do you think about that? What's Jesus saying to us here? Here's what he's saying. When you are in a deep, abiding love relationship with God, it strips all self-centeredness away from you. It strips all of your agendas away from you. If you are in a deep, loving relationship with God, you would do nothing. You will do nothing to hurt the child. You will do nothing to hurt others. You will do nothing. You will not bring hurt into anybody's life. And you will be able to love them with a selfless love, a love that takes your selfish agenda out of the equation. If you love God, what I've discovered here in my own marriage and in my own family, this is powerful. I want you to get a hold of this. This is life-changing. That the closer and more I love God, the better I am able to love my family. The better and closer that I love God, the less self-agenda there is in my love of other people. This changes every relationship that you have. And Jesus is saying here, you want to really love your family? You want to really love your parents? You want to really love your children? Love me primarily and foremost before anything else. And what you will find is, what I have discovered is, my love for them increases. My love for them keeps growing. This gives me a picture of the consummated kingdom. Because as we get to know God better, and as we get to love God more, and as we get to love and know Jesus of Nazareth more and better, what will happen with our relationships in the consummated kingdom? They will continually expand and grow and become better and deeper, richer, fuller. I have taken that, and I am applying it to today. I'm going to invite you to do that. Take that and apply it to now. Watch what happens to your relationships. You got any relationship issues? Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. And you will find your relationships, your love of others will exponentially improve and increase. Try this on. Have you ever had... When you're having a great time with God, you're clicking with God, you're deep into His Word, the Holy Spirit has gotten a hold of you. You've all been there, right? In those great moments where you feel His presence and you feel almost drawn up like Paul into the third heaven. All right, when you have those experiences, how do you treat others? Can you have those experiences and then go out and be unkind to anybody? Someone who used to attend this church. Doesn't anymore, for whatever reason. But they used to attend this church, and they heard this was years ago, and they heard the rudiments of this message because the Holy Spirit was bringing the rudiments of this message out in me even then. And I preached a message like this, and she said to me after the message, she said, "Your message has made me just want to go out and be nice to people." You see, God is distributed to others when we are in a deep, abiding love relationship with Him. It is a sequential love that God commands from us. John says clearly in his first epistle, John says, if you say you love God and you do not love people, John says, you're lying. He says, God is not in you. You don't know God. And I know that this is what the enemy tries to prevent in our lives. I know this is what the enemy tries to get in between, because there's one thing the enemy cannot abide, and what he is trying to stop us from doing. No, he cannot stop our salvation. The enemy can never do that. The enemy can't get in between me and my salvation or you and your salvation. But what the enemy can and does do is get in between our love of God and therefore our love for people. Because if he does that, God is not described and God is not distributed to his world. Tracking? Make sense? Understand? Thank you, Dan. Understand that verse now? Matthew 10:37. Watch your love of your family, your wife, your husband, your children, your coworkers, the people you meet in the store, the people that you pass on the street. Watch what happens when things are created, things are fixed, things are transformed, things are healed, things are renovated, and things are renewed in their life because of your deep love for God. Why is this true? Because if God is love, and he is, and because love is from God, and it is, when you love others, what you are actually doing is giving them God. Do you grasp that? You run into people who need help? Teresa and I were in Arizona last October, and I never saw such poverty. We were going to see the national parks. I'd never been there before. And we went through the Native American reservations to get to these places. Poverty beyond my imagination, right here in our nation, stunned me. And we stopped at a little gas station in the middle of this reservation area. And here was a young boy, probably about 13 years old, sitting on the cement, tattered dress, and he was playing this guitar, and he was singing. He had a little tin can out there, and he was singing, and he was hoping for some tips, for some money. And people are going by, and people, you know how people generally do in those situations, they like go way around, or they avoid the situation, or they look the other way. I want you to understand your power, God's people. I want you to understand what you've got. And I went right up to this young man, and I gave him $20. Okay. What's that to me? What's that to you? What's that? Nothing. I gave him $20. And the look on his face and the heartfelt thanks that he gave me. You know, at that time, this message had not been dropped into my heart yet by God. You're worried about what you should do with your faith. You're worried, how can God use me? You're worried, what is God's will for my life? You're worried, how do I express and share my faith? How do I distribute God? How do I describe God? It's things like that we do, giving love, that in that young boy's life, I have no idea what that's going to do. I have no idea, but I do know this. I know that love is from God, and I know that God is love. And I know that when I do something like that, out of an act, what did Jesus say? If you even give a cup of cold water in my name, he said, you'll never lose your reward. Listen, God's people, we've got to start making the intangible love of God tangible to people. Because the intangible love of God remains just that unless it intersects other people's lives. So that was no magnanimous act on my part. And I'm not saying that it was. $20 was nothing to me. But it was everything to this young boy. And I have no idea what will happen as a result of that. Give people love. And the reason you give them love is because you love God deeply, fully, and completely. And when you do that, you will love people. It will spring from you. It will be produced in your life. Let go of the let go of the demand for results. Let go of the demand that you have to know what happens. Just give love. Give love springing from your love of God. Love God supremely, and you will see all other relationships in your life improving, being fixed, transformed, healed. How many relationships need healed? I know of a couple. They claim to be in the covenantal family. Claim to be. Church attenders. Married. And quite frankly, they can't stand each other. They can't stand each other. They're in the same house, but they can't stand one another. And they're saying, "How can this be?" And my answer back to them is, "Do you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength? Because if you do that, it's impossible for you not to love others, like Jesus said, you love others just like yourself. Are you wielding this power? Because if you have a deep love of God and it remains private and personal to you, if it remains an intangible, you see, my love of God to that young boy sitting there playing a guitar, asking for some money, my love of God would remain completely intangible to this young man. You make it very tangible when your love of and for God intersects and touches others. Else, other than that, God's love remains intangible. God's love remains. John says, no one has ever seen God. A. See that on your verse there in 1 John 4:12? So how do we fix that, John? No one's ever seen God. How do we fix it? If we, God's people, love one another, they see him. They feel him. The intangible becomes tangible to them, becomes real to them. And his love is perfected in us. What's that mean? His love is perfected in us. See, my skill as a physician are meaningless. It's meaningless unless it intersects my patients, unless I actually apply it to my patients. It remains theory. My skill is perfected when it actually is put into practice. Here we have God's love. Don't let the enemy steal this message from you right now. Don't let him do that to you. Because we have God's love that remains a theory to the world. That remains an intangible force to the world. We talk about God's love all the time, and it remains over here on a shelf. It's when we actually allow his love to impact, intersect, and touch others, that it's perfected. Oh, now your skill as an engineer is perfected because you're actually using it. My skill as a physician, well, it's perfected now because it is being used for what it was always meant to do, to help people with pain and suffering. God's love remains intangible unless it is employed for what it was always meant to do, and that is to create, to fix, to transform, to renovate, to heal, and to renew. And the only way it does that is when it intersects the world. Are you wielding it? Are you wielding it in your homes? Every time there's been an issue with me and relationships in my life, every single time I can trace it back to, did the enemy get in between my love of God and me? Because when that happens, my love turns on myself. Does yours? I become a lover of self more than a lover of God, and it is exactly what the enemy did to Adam. Exactly what he did. He turned Adam's love away from God, and he turned it back on himself. And what happened? What did God say would happen? Your relationships are going to suffer mightily because of this. Let's look at Mark 1:40-42 as we close here. Because I want you to understand the intangible becomes tangible. His love, here's a story about God's love being perfected. His love is perfected in this story. A man with a serious skin disease, that's as bad as it got in those times. That's probably a leprosy. That's probably a bacterium, a skin-eating bacterium that these people were absolutely pariah. You don't touch these people. But here's a man with a serious skin disease, and he came to him. He came to him. Why? Are people coming to you? Why did this man come to Jesus? What did he see in Jesus? Do you know what he saw? He saw what Paul said. Paul said, your life is a living letter. Your life is written by God. Your life is written by the Holy Spirit. And people can see it just by looking at you. And here is a man with a serious skin disease that no one will come near, and he comes up and approaches Jesus. Watch what happens here. What did he see? He felt and he saw the love, adoration, and worship of God. Now, people look at you, and they probably see your love, adoration, and worship of God. Pay attention. Watch this. It's important. They see it. Paul says they see it. There's something about you that draws them. Something about you that is different, and it is the love, adoration, and worship that you have for God. It's intangible, but they sense it. He comes up to him, Jesus, and on his knees he begs him, begged him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus, I sense something different about you. I feel the radiation of the love, adoration, and worship you have for God. The only variable here, Jesus, this man is saying to him, and people say to you and me, here it is. The only variable is, are you willing? Your wife or your husband comes to you. Or your child comes to you, and they know you've got the ability. This man knew Jesus had the ability. The variable is, are you willing? Are you, if you're willing, you can make the intangible tangible to me. You can make this theory about God's love and the transforming power of it, you can make it tangible. Is what he's saying to Jesus and what people say to us. What the young boy sitting on that sidewalk playing that guitar was saying to me. Are you willing? Because I'm down here and I'm begging for help. The variable is, was I willing? Are you willing to let your love of God touch people? Intersect people? If you're willing, you can make me clean. Look at verse 41. Here's the takeaway. Love makes us willing. What's it say here? Why did Jesus do this? Look at 41. Moved with compassion. Love. He's moved with compassion. It made him willing. You're commanded to do this, and you're enabled to do it. God has enabled you to have your love for him intersect the world. Oh, you've heard me say this many times. You talk about the non-believers and the judgment that awaits them, and we all want to think, okay, that we've escaped that. Let me tell you something. You read the beginning of Revelation and read who is judged in the beginning of that. It is the churches. Moved with compassion. Love makes us willing. Love compels us and love impels us. You say, well, I just don't have this love for people. I just don't. I would be able to walk right by. In fact, I would go around so I don't have to go by this young man sitting there in abject poverty. I'd go around the other way. You know what? Love compels you to walk right up to him. And Jesus does more than that. This is a virulent, contagious skin issue. And Jesus, moved and compelled and impelled by love, enabled by love, what does he do? He intersects his world. How? He touches him. The intangible is about to become very tangible. And only because love has compelled and impelled Jesus to touch him. Touch people. Let your love oven for God impact somebody. And that's how you wield this divine power. There's so much power in this message. There's so much transformative power in this message that I have experienced. He reached out his hand and touched him, and he said, I am willing. I'm willing. And I'm going to show my willingness. I'm going to intersect your world. I'm going to touch you. My love of and for God compels and impels me to do this. And here's the tangible evidence. I'm touching you. I am willing, he told him. Be made clean. Verse 42. Immediately, the disease left him and he was healed. When you do these things and you touch people, figuratively or physically, something, because what you're giving him is God. Remember, you're giving him God because God is love. You're giving them healing. You're giving them renovation, renewal. You're giving them, you're creating something new in them, and you're fixing something in them because that's what God does. God fixes things. And when you do this, something happens immediately in their life. Immediately. I dropped 20 bucks in this poor young man's cup, and now I know that immediately something happened for him. That I don't need to know. The glory of this story is that we see, and Jesus sees, immediate results. He's healed. What did Jesus give him? Jesus gave him God. Jesus described and distributed God. Because God is love. And love is from God. And Jesus just wielded the power that he had been given from the Father. You have this power. Jesus said, the things that you see me do, you're going to do even greater things. And what did Jesus do primarily? He healed because he loved. He didn't love because he healed. Bring that into your brains. He healed because he loved. He didn't go out and heal to show that he loved. Big difference. Healing sprang from his love. Healing springs from our love. You have such power in other people's lives. And first and foremost, in your family, to your husband, to your wife, to your children. Heal your homes. Touch others with the love that you have for God. Intersect it. And you watch things fixed and transformed because you love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this message, and I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would take these words and use them for your glory and your kingdom. Amen.